was that it's illegal for a man to be with an animal. You know what I'm talking about. Now, neither will God be intimate with an animal. If you're a sheep, you're still an animal. Y'all stay with me. Don't go nowhere. Y'all stay tuned. And so we got to stop. We got to go from being sheep to becoming the bride.
Amen.
So what happens when you become the bride? The marriage is consummated.
Amen.
Y'all hear me?
Amen.
And when the marriage is consummated, that means two become what?
One.
And if two becomes one, then you go from being the bride to becoming the body. And then if you become the body of Christ in the earth, why are we looking for him to do it from heaven? And he said, I empowered all of you to do it on earth.
Amen.
He said, in my name, you shall speak with new tongues. In my name, you will cast out devils. In my name, you can lay hands on the sick and they might recover. Do I have any witnesses in here that said, I need to do what he said do in order that I may be able to do the greater works than these? So he confronted him. He said that, you know, I blinded him and I talked to him. See, sometimes God got to put you in a blind spot so he can talk to you. You're too busy being religious. We're too busy trying to do it our own way. We're too busy thinking that we right about everything. And ain't nobody right about everything. Tell somebody you ain't right about everything.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want to call your attention to a very familiar verse of Scripture, maybe two, that's generally preached at funerals. And it's not the wrong time to preach it, but it's also not the best time to preach it. Because the best time to me to preach it is before the funeral. It's insurance and assurance. And the assurance you get is because you have the insurance in place when an accident occurs. And so I think everybody ought to know this before they come to the place of death, so that they won't weep as those who have no hope. John chapter 11, and I just want to lift out verse 25. John chapter 11, verse 25. And when you have it, say amen. All right, let's begin reading now. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, I'm glad I know him. I'm glad I know him. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 26 says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? One of the things you will note, the story begins actually at the beginning in verse 1 of this 11th chapter, and it runs into the 40-something, 5th, 6th verse of this same said chapter. But all of the verses leading up to verse 25 and 26 affirms the fact that Jesus is the resurrection. All the verses proceeding from these verses confirm that he is the resurrection and the life. Now, one of the things that I want you to understand, as I have shared with you already, that this is insurance and assurance for the believer to know in his or her heart when the time comes for your transition, it is well with your soul. It is well with your soul. There are people, and it hurts my heart to see people grieving so greatly over people who die who knew the Lord. Whether you know it or not, those who knew the Lord and were members of his body as believers, they are in heaven and in God's presence. The Bible says, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They are with the Lord. And if they could come back, they wouldn't come back. And I hope you understand that there are some of us, I understand we all grieve differently, trust me. And one thing that is helpful for us when we get into a place like that, because all of us, again, respond in different ways. But may I throw out some suggestions for you? Love them, before they leave. Love them before they leave. Do all you can. Tell them I love you. Show them you care. Be there for them, and it will help you when transition time comes, knowing that if love could have kept them here, if care could have kept them here, they'd still be here. But I want to say this, not only must you love them while they are here, but what you need to do is release them when they leave here. Release them. Because what folk don't understand is if you don't release those who are going on to a better place and you continue to grieve yourself, you can grieve yourself beyond a normal point of grieving that can take you out of here. Now, just make sure you're grieving and not guilty. Because a lot of folk are not necessarily grieving, they're guilty. Because they didn't do what they should have done while that person could appreciate it and was alive. Didn't tell them they loved them when they needed to hear. Didn't tell them how much they meant to them while they needed to know those things. Didn't give them their flowers while they were able to smell them. And so now they're guilty about those things. The story, The Imitation of Life. I was just a little boy when I saw that story. But it hurt my heart greatly that this girl, her mother scrubbed folks' floors and washed their dishes and cleaned their homes so that she could have, excuse me, a good education and a good life. And she was the one who was able to cause her to hobnob with the folk of the light of persuasion. And she got beside herself, forgot who she was and whose she was, and played down her mother and played like her mother was not her mother. And when her mother died, she wanted to come running and almost wanting to jump in the casket. I was a little boy and I said, open it up and let her get in too. So when you've done all that you can do, release them and let them go. And then thirdly, I want to tell you, after that, live life for all it's worth, because life is for the living. Life is for the living. You have a purpose for your life, and it is according to the word, the will, and the way of God. You can't become so caught up in the grief or the guilt that you forget God left you here for a purpose. And it's that greater purpose that God is expecting you to fulfill. Now listen at this. When Jesus said, and I want to look at verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. This portion of the word comes from the second half of his declaration, which says, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, those who truly believe in Jesus, it's in verse 26, believing, and it's in verse 25, believing or believe. And it's there for an important reason, because the acceptance of Jesus into your life as the resurrection and the life is predicated upon you believing who he is and what he can do for you. And then the same applies to verse 26, and whosoever liveth, those are the ones who hadn't died yet, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Why? Because those who accept the Lord Jesus are passed on from death to life. Because the life that they now live is that of the faith of the Son of God. So that literally means that you literally don't physically have the same ending that those who don't know him have. Yes, listen, he puts it in different terms. If you believe in him, you don't die, you go to sleep. Those who don't believe in him, they die, because he is not the resurrection or the life to them. Now, let me help sustain what I'm saying. You remember earlier in this 11th chapter, Jesus was telling the disciples, Lazarus is asleep. Now, the disciples said, well, if he's sleeping, he'd do it well. Ain't nothing wrong with him sleeping, Jesus. What's the problem? Jesus said, no, let me put it in layman terms. Lazarus is dead by your standards. But the reason Lazarus was not really dead to Jesus, one, was because Jesus was the resurrection and the life. And listen to this. Lazarus believed in him. He knew Lazarus believed in him. And so Lazarus to him was asleep. But to men, he was dead. And so that's why you need to understand from verse 26 that if you accept the Lord Jesus now and believe in him now, you won't ever die. You're going to go to sleep. But guess what? Just like he woke up Lazarus, he's going to wake you up again. That's why I'm glad I know him. I wish I had a helper in the house. I'm not going to labor long because you know the story. And this is the Lord's Supper. This is about resurrection. This is about the power of God in Christ, whom God raised from the dead. And that same power that God used to raise Jesus will be applied to our lives who accept Jesus as our Savior. Now look again, because I'm going to start back at the beginning of verse 25. I am, Jesus said unto her, I am. Now in order to understand and appreciate the resurrection and life, you got to fully understand I am. And you have to go back to the book of Exodus when his father told Moses to tell Pharaoh and anybody else asking, if they want to know who I am, just tell them I am that I am. And that literally meant that there was no limitations that could be placed on God. He's able to be whatever we need him to be. That's why in the book of John, once again, in 6:35 of John, he's the bread of life. That's why in John chapter 9, verse 5, he's the light of the world. That's because he says, I am the bread of life. John 10, 9, I am the light of the world. John 10 and 11, John 10 and 9 says, I am the door. I am, I am, I am. John 10 and 11 says, I am the good shepherd. John 14 and 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 15 and 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, when we go back to verse 25 of the 11th chapter, he says, I am the resurrection. Now, I want to try and explain this because there is some misunderstanding about the resurrection. There are two parts to the resurrection. The first part is called resuscitation. And the second part is resurrection. When Jesus went to Jairus' house and raised up Jairus' daughter, that was not resurrection. That was resuscitation. When he found the widow of Nain's son dead on his way to be buried, they were on their way out of town. Jesus was on his way in town. He touched the casket and told the boy to rise. The boy rose up and he gave him back to his mother. That wasn't a resurrection. That was a resuscitation. Listen, and even Lazarus, when he was in the grave, dead, 4 days, body beginning to stink because of decomposition, when Jesus called him back to life, that again was not a resurrection. That was a resuscitation. Well, preacher, what is the difference between a resuscitation and a resurrection? I'm glad you asked. A resuscitation is when Jesus raised them up from the dead, but they died again. Y'all hear me in the house? When was the last time you heard them folk talking about Lazarus is still with us? I'm talking about the biblical Lazarus, not the boy you know named Lazarus. When was the last time Jairus' daughter played with your little girl? I mean, because if she was resurrected, she'd still be here. When was the son of Nain ever seen again? The truth of the matter is, all those that he raised from the dead died again, because resuscitation is temporary. But resurrection is eternal. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection. And listen at this, he had to become the first fruit of them that slept in order for the resurrection to take force, to come into real play. That's why in Matthew 27 and 51, you're going to remember that on that day when Jesus was raised from the dead, resurrected, that all the saints who died waiting for his resurrection, when that earthquake happened and Jesus rose up, he was the first of them that had risen from the dead as in resurrection. And then they marched down the streets of Jerusalem in resurrected bodies. And they did not die again. And Jesus is saying, listen, you can get it beforehand or you can get it afterhand, but it's going to require believing on either hand. Though he were dead, that's beforehand, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth, that's those who get it on the other hand. Listen, those who liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Never die. So all they will do when transition day come is go to sleep. And you know, a deep sleep, a REM sleep, with no dreams and no awareness, no consciousness, is the same kind of sleep that Jesus is saying you'll have. You see, those who are belonging to God, they sleep in him in a blessed rest. They rest from all their labors, and all their works do follow them. They have the ability to lay down and know that they're getting up again. That's why when you get the news that John Montgomery is dead, I don't want you to believe it. Because I'll be more alive at that time than I am right now. And if you ever hear them say that, tell them you're a dirty liar. He's just sleeping. And Jesus is going to wake him up. I'm sorry, that's what my grandmother used to say when you really made him mad. But I need you to understand that what applies in this text applies to every believer who believes in him. And isn't it good to know before you lay down and go to sleep, the long sleep, that all is well and that you will live again. Eternally. That's why the old saints say, I died one time and I ain't gonna die
no more. They're not going to do like Lazarus did and like the widow of Nain's son did and like Jairus' daughter did. They're not going to die twice, but once. And I don't know about you, but that's good news. That's why I can't grieve as those who have no hope, especially for those that I know knew the Lord and the Lord knew them and they worked out of their soul salvation while they were living. And the only time that we have a problem with this is when we don't know the Lord and the Lord doesn't know us. But any other time, it's shouting time. It's glorious time. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Well, there's a whole lot more I could say to you, but I'm about to close it right about now because I think I got my point over. And every now and then I run the risk of listening to the responses. And if I don't think you get it, it adds 10 minutes to the sermon. So one time, tell me if you got it. If not, I'll keep going. Hey, come, don't fool me now. Do you have it? Well, if you got it, I'm going to go on and land this 757. One day, Satan came and he found Jesus. And he said to Jesus, "Jesus, I've been watching you." He said, "I saw you when you turned the water into wine. And I saw you, yeah, when you took two small fish and five barley loaves and fed 5,000 without counting the women and the children." Said Jesus, "I saw you when you were on a stormy night and you came walking on the water and then permitted a man by the name of Peter who believed that if you told him to come, he could walk also." He said, "But I heard you say you are the resurrection and the life. And I saw you when you went to Jairus' house and raised up his daughter." He said, "I saw you when you caught the widow of Nain before they buried him going out of town. And I even saw you when you went to Lazarus' grave after he had been stinking for four long days and called his name and Lazarus rose." He said that was some great treats and some great feats. He said, "But Jesus, I want to ask you one question. If you die, can you get up again?" Jesus said, "Well, listen, Satan, I'm on my way to Calvary where mean men want to destroy my life." He said, "You can come on with me because no man taketh my life, but I lay my life down. And if I lay my life down, then I can pick it up again." He said, "If you don't believe me, come on the Calvary and I will order my own death." He said, "But if you think I'll fight, I'll let mean men drive nails in my hands. If you think I'll run, I'll let men rivet my feet."
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org.